And welcome back. Chad Holmes with you here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bullfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Right now, overcast skies in downtown Wausau. We are at our Bull Falls studios on the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street. Another warm start this morning, 73 degrees. But it looks like we're not going to get much warmer than this during the rest of the day. But we'll have more updates on the weather coming up. But thank you for being back with us for hour number two of the Chad Holmes Show here on Bull Falls Radio. Coming up, we will be joined in just a few minutes by Sean Wright. Sean Wright, the executive director of the Grand Theater, the Wausau Performing Arts Foundation. He'll be with us coming up in just a few minutes. Also coming up at about 9:34 a.m. this morning, I'll be talking to a Wausau native who has lived in Milwaukee for the past 15 years, Jennifer Grundy. And she is a friend of mine. She is somebody I went to college with. And after the comments made by Donald Trump last week calling Milwaukee a horrible city, and I thought, well, what do we, and also over the years, in fact, the city of Milwaukee being used as a bit of a punching bag by Republicans in the state assembly and state senate, I wanted to talk to somebody from Milwaukee, maybe get a little bit of a different perspective than what we have here in north central Wisconsin. What is it like down in Milwaukee? Give us maybe a little peek on what's some of the really good aspects of Milwaukee. Maybe, again, some of the things that also need to get better, but every community has their areas they need to get better at. So we'll talk to Jennifer Grundy about her city and more coming up at 9:34 this morning. Before we go any further, it's time to have an official welcome. We had Bob on in the first hour, and again, appreciate Bob. Look, he's coming in every other Wednesday to spend the first hour talking about different things going on in the news and sports, but right now it's time to say officially good morning to our in-studio engineer, our producer, Ian Welsh. Ian, good morning.
Good morning, Chad.
Well, yeah, it's midweek. I got to admit, I am having a hard time dragging myself around this week. When you're in school, when you're getting close to the end of the school year, you have that where it's just springitis, where you're just, you see the end in sight, and it's almost
spring fever, I think.
Yeah, it gets harder and harder to kind of keep the feet moving to get to the finish line, and I'm at that point right now. Yeah. It's like I just can't wait to kind of get away for a few days, get away for a week.
You got those pre-vacation jitters, right?
Well, I'm just looking at this, constantly looking at the calendar and saying, oh, is it almost the weekend yet? Is it almost time to take off, to get out of town for the weekend? And it's just one of those moments where it's been a kind of a long grind. And as we went through the entire school year, basically, with very little time away, and was very busy, and it's sort of to the point where I kind of need that recharge. And I think people need to realize that at times they need to recharge, that you can love what you do, and I do. I love what I do. I love the work that I do. But boy, there's times where you just need to take that one little bit of a step back and recharge. And that by the time I get back, I'm ready to go. Usually by the time we get to maybe 3-4 days off, I'm kind of ready to get back at it. And looking forward then, because we have a very busy summer coming up. When we do come back, we'll be in the run-up to the Republican National Convention. These races are going to continue to heat up. The Democratic National Convention coming up in August. Then, of course, the general election in November. Then, of course, in August, we'll start up with our high school sports again. So there's still a lot on the plate. But I think everybody, and I'm sure that, you know, you like to, you know, you get very busy with your shows, but it's nice to take that step back to recharge a little bit at times too, right?
Absolutely. It's nice to have some evenings off where you don't have to go to rehearsal. You don't have to have, like, your mind full of all the songs and dances and lines you have to do in a show. Oh, because, you know, you get into the habit of, you do these shows so often, even after the show is over, you can't get these lines and songs and dances out of your head because you've been practicing them for so long. It's like, I can't get this out of my head. I just want some peace and a quiet, but I can't stop singing this because it was so fun.
Do you find, and this is a sort of an off-the-cuff question, because I did a number of shows back in my younger days, and for the show that I love the most, I can still recite some of the lines, a lot of the lines.
Oh.
Do you find yourself, those lines that stick with you, not just for weeks or months, but they can stick with you for years? That's basically, it's all still at the tip of your tongue that you could almost, you would probably take like one rehearsal and then get back, you'd still be able to be close enough to get out there and perform a show?
Absolutely. I mean, I have that issue, not just with a theater, but just watching movies in general. I mean, if I watch a movie enough at times, I can pretty much quote the movie word for word and still have those lines in my head. Well, you give me a Disney movie, I can probably quote most anything from that movie. Just, it's kind of a curse I have, but it's also kind of a blessing because I have an eidetic memory.
Huh.
So it's hard for me to forget a lot of things.
Yeah. No, that's a good thing. And
the problem is it's too much information, and sometimes it's hard to like sort it all, because when I'm trying to put new ideas in there, I still have old ideas in my head, and sometimes I can't.
Well, that's
I can't really focus.
But I would rather be that way, because sometimes I do think back where like how much of life we don't really remember. I mean, for myself, being in my early 50s, thinking back to when I was a kid, when I was going to high school, maybe even college, there are obviously a lot of things you remember, but there's so much you kind of don't. It kind of goes away.
Yeah.
And I sometimes wonder about, you know, like when you read a biography or an autobiography. I couldn't write an autobiography because there'd be so much missing. I guess, authors probably have to do the work of going back to other people to get documents like letters and other things that would show and maybe, you know, get the information. But man, I sometimes wonder when I do read, and I love reading biographies, I love reading history, about how much is real, because even the memories that we think we have, sometimes they get altered. I mean,
sometimes.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I mean, I had this game that I broadcast about almost 25 years ago, and I had thought I had this memory of how it finished, and then in the end, I listened to the broadcast, and it was different. Actually, the ending was a little different than I remembered it.
Sometimes your mind can play tricks on you.
Yes, the mind does sometimes play tricks, and as we see walking into the studio, a guy that I know did some sports broadcasting in his past as well. I was just saying to Ian, because sometimes, you know, as we get older, we sometimes I get a little sad because you have these memories, but there's so much you don't remember.
So much.
Because you can't yeah. keep everything in your head. And yeah. I was saying there's this broadcast, one of my favorite broadcasts, and I said I had this certain memory of how the game finished, and then I listened to it. It was not that. It wasn't even the way I thought. I just thought about this for all these years. I pulled out the old audio tape. No, that's not the way it ended.
No, that's what happens.
I know.
I do remember game 7 of the 1982 World Series. Stop
it.
Well. Sorry.
You know what I remember? I remember game 2 of the 1982 World Series when Pete Ladd got squeezed by this umpire, kept throwing strikes that were called balls, and ultimately the game-winning run was walked in.
Yes.
Do you remember that too?
Steve Braun was the hitter who walked in the
he kept throwing strikes, and this umpire, I can't remember who the umpire was, kept calling it a ball.
Wow, Steve Braun made a living. He literally like had a fan club that was created as Steve Braun. He walked in the winning run in the 1982 World Series.
And that was the game that changed the series because Milwaukee won for game 1 10-0. And I still say, and as a Brewer fan, my all-time favorite game is game 1 of the 1982 World Series. Even better than when they won the ALCS, even when they beat the Orioles in the win of the division, game 1, because it was such a perfect game. Milwaukee.
Yeah, the late great Whitey Herzog passed away earlier this year. Had the best comment after that game. He goes, "At least it doesn't count for two."
Exactly. No, and that was a perfect response to it because you're right. It did not count for two, because if it did, the Brewers would have had the four wins in the first game.
Exactly. They would have.
But Sean Wright, Grand Theater, the executive director of the WASA Performing Arts Foundation. And boy, you look like you're ready to hit up, go out there and get 18 holes in.
Is
it a busy time right now?
You know, it is, because our season's up on sale, and we still have, you know, we've got a couple of shows coming up this summer. You know, just had the Tony Awards on Sunday, so a lot going on with that. And yeah, just a really busy time.
Ian, we were talking a little bit about the Tonys earlier in the week. And
there was quite a few shows I never even heard of before. That's a good thing.
That's,
you know, because a lot of these unfamiliar
yes, there's yeah, there's sure, nothing
it's
better.
A different.
Yeah, there's nothing better from a touring perspective when you can have a lot of shows that get to put the Tony Award-winning musical next to their name.
Yeah, I imagine mm-hmm. that when you're watching those Tonys, all of a sudden your mind is you're not sitting back there just having a drink and enjoying the Tonys. You're thinking about which of these shows ultimately can we bring to WASA, right?
Correct. Yeah, and you know, and thinking about relationships. I mean, I've got you know, a friend who's a producer, has produced numerous shows and was one of the producers of The Outsider. So I was really happy for Brett and for, you know, the folks at Road Company, or as I refer to Brett, Jenny's husband, a long time great agent friend who we've worked with on shows. So happy for, you know, so it's relationships, but it's also, you know, it'd be great if they're split and you get a bunch of shows that win Tonys, because, you know, that helps. It helps them run longer on Broadway, which helps their potential touring life, which helps the ability of them making it to WASA.
Can I ask you, because you obviously, you go to New York and you just, I don't know, obviously you need to do that as part of the job. How healthy is Broadway right now?
You know, Broadway as a whole is actually still down about 20% from pre-pandemic. Fewer and fewer shows are recouping, because the biggest thing that they've seen is with office life not coming fully back to New York City, they're not getting the suburban, you know, patrons, the people sure. who drive into the city, who work in the city 5 days a week or even 3 days a week. Now they're just not coming into the city, into those office buildings. And, you know, the tourist business is back, the other business is back, that isn't. And, you know, their costs have gone up. And, you know, it's a tricky time right now for Broadway. Now,
sure.
Touring Broadway is doing the best business it's ever done. Touring Broadway is you know, just doing fantastic. A perfect example, you know, Mrs. Doubtfire, a show that opened and did not even come close to recouping its investment on Broadway. Some of that was COVID timing. Went out on the road, has already recouped its national tour investment.
We're going to come back with more in a minute with Sean Wright, Executive Director of the Grand Theater on Bull Falls Radio. Chat Home Show, Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. By the way, real quickly, Cardinals 500, second place.
Yes.
Are you still kind of, every time you come in here?
Yeah, every night kind of the Cardinals is an adventure.
They lost the game to the Crew last night.
That's what I mean. They win an extra inning game 2 nights ago and then blow a 5-run lead and lose an extra innings last night to the Marlins of all teams.
I know.
So yes, it is the Cardinals roller coaster as opposed to the Brewers, who just, you know, every game it's like, who is this
every
guy?
Series.
Oh, this guy, you know, this pitcher, this hitter, this, you know, somebody else steps up. It's really amazing.
Every series is 2 out of 3. That's
yeah.
all they do. They
yeah,
just win 2 out of 3.
That's,
you know, just methodically going up above 500. So I just like to bring up the Cards, you know, in a not so good way. After you brought up the game 7,
the wild card Cardinals. What are you talking about? I mean, because everybody is a wild card in the National League.
but real quick, you bring that up. Okay. Whenever I go to American Family Field and I see this banner, it says 2020 NL wild card. That was the COVID year.
Yeah.
The Brewers went 29-31 and they put up a banner. I mean, yeah. I cringe at that. I mean, if maybe if you win a division, but I still think pennants are for league championships or above.
You know,
that's my traditional viewpoint.
Yeah, it's like when the Nashville Predators made the playoffs for the first time and they hung a banner that said playoff participant.
And people in Indianapolis, the Colts get a lot of, because they have banners that say AFC finalist. And people just make fun of that. So
yeah,
let's get back to the good stuff of, again, Grand Theater Performing Arts Foundation. You said, again, sort of the middle between seasons, but there's still stuff going on at the Grand. What's going on at the Grand?
Yeah, we do. Coming up July 1st, we're really excited. You know, it's holiday week, but Lyle Lovett will be there with his large band. And, you know, Lyle's been at the Grand a few times, but this is the first time with the large band in 15 years. And when you say large band, I think the crew, counting artists, musicians, crew, I think we're feeding 38 for dinner. So that just tells you, I mean, it's full band, incredible backing singers. And, yeah, I mean, it is a... just a really, really cool show. And he only goes out with the large band during the summer. That's why we've, you know, haven't ever been able to have it during the traditional season. So we're really excited to have Lyle coming up on July 1st.
I got to ask, who do you call in to feed all these folks?
You know, with that one, our good friends from the Mint take good care
Fantastic.
Of us. And, you know, yeah, that's a large one. I think only when it's a river dance. That's the only company that's bigger than that we have to feed in a year.
Anything else happening that we should know about?
Yeah, you know, we've got two other shows in July. Justin Willman, of course, the Magic for Humans from Netflix. Really, really cool show. His touring show. We still have a handful of tickets left for that show. And then on July 24th, Straight No Chaser, band we've been wanting to get forever. Just, you know, a cappella sensations out of Indiana University years and years ago. They, of course, toured the globe ever since, and it is their summer tour. Hits of the summer, all the songs you know and love from summer's past. So really excited about those two shows. You know, we don't do a lot during the summer, but when we do, we like to have some really outstanding shows.
Let me ask about summer shows, because I go back to when I went to school at UWMC back then, and one summer, 91, long time ago, we did a summer show. We had an independent theater group, and we did a summer show, and it's a little different, because our independent group, we did not charge for tickets. We just wanted people to come, you know, so it's free.
Absolutely.
But the crowds were really good, and we did the show in July.
Yeah.
And there's always this thought that it's hard to do these shows in the summer. How have you found that in terms of does it have to be really the right shows?
It has to be the right show on the right date, and you've got to get tickets on sale well in advance before people make their summer plans. It's there's definitely a challenge. I mean, you know, it's just kind of the reality of, you know, we spend all winter wanting to get outside for the summer,
exactly.
And there's just so many in this community, so many amazing events during the summer.
Yeah,
you know, whether it's downtown with concerts, or whether it's, you know, the Woodchucks, or, you know, the fair, and, you know, and within driving distance, things like Hodag and all the different festivals and county fairs. And so, yeah, the summer is a really, really challenging time for, you know, for performing arts centers of all kinds, and it really has to be the right show.
And you're right. I mean, because 91 we drew big crowds, and 92 picked the wrong show and drew very poor crowds. You have to really pick the right shows, or else you're going to find yourself in a very tough situation.
Absolutely. There are definitely times where, you know, we tell promoters, I've got show X or Y, I really want to bring it in. Oh, what date are you looking at? Oh, it's, you know, Friday night in July. And I'm like, you know, that show in November, I think, would do okay. That show in July, it's not going to do as well as you hope. And I don't want you to lose the money on it. And, let's find a different date.
Again, we're talking to Sean Wright, the executive director of the Grand Theater, the Wausau Performing Arts Foundation. Again, you've made the announcement of the new season. Where do you stand right now again?
Yeah.
In terms of people that, you know, they see the lineup, which is, again, just fantastic. They want to make sure they get those tickets. What again, do people need to be thinking
Absolutely.
About?
Absolutely. You know, right now is sort of the perfect time. We're about a week out from our, sort of original subscription deadline when we seat all our patrons. And so, four shows or more get you in as a subscriber, get you access to that, that original seating of tickets before the general public, and, discounts, opportunity for new shows, which we've already have a couple of shows on the books that we'll be announcing. That's just kind of the way it goes. So
you're such a popular guy, I tell you. They're coming to you, I think, right?
Some of them do. There is a little bit of it. The schedule's already a little crazy, but that's
we want to come to Wausau. That's a good thing to hear, right?
No, it's really good. No, I was just running the numbers from this past year. We sold 91,000 tickets this year, and you know, we thought last year was a great season, and that was this is up about 21,000 from last year. So I, you know, I guess we should have added about 9 more shows, taking it across the 100,000 mark. But no, people can subscribe. They can go online and subscribe. They can call the box office. They can stop by the box office. And then, you know, as we get into early July, some people want to wait till they select their own seats. They can do that starting Tuesday, July 2nd. They can select their own seats online. But, of course, that's after we've seated everybody who already has their order in so far. So I encourage people, just get your order in.
And as we've talked about, it's you're not asking for a huge commitment of like a dozen shows or 18 or half the shows or whatever it may be. Four shows, right?
Four shows. Just four shows. With 37 on the season, we hope you can find four that you
37.
Like. And four. And obviously, you can. The more you take, the higher your priority in terms of seating and the higher your discount percentage. And we've been really, really thrilled by the response to the season. It's been fun to see, you know, the shows that are the, you know, surprise hits that people are picking. And, fantastic to see others that we hope the people would really respond to, and they have.
So pay a visit to the box office, take a nice walk when it's not raining, and go to the website again.
Grandtheater.org.
And again,
E-R. Do not go to R-E. And, I can't vouch for the tickets on that site.
Well, Sean, enjoy the rest of your week. Again, thanks for the information, and I hope the Cardinals keep middling,
I'm sure they will.
We'll update the standings in 2 weeks.
In 2 weeks. Sounds good.
Sean Wright from the Grand Theater. Coming up, an information update. We'll get you the news, weather, and sports that you need to know. And then coming up after that, we'll be talking to a Wausau native who's lived in Milwaukee for 15 years. Get a perspective of what that city's like as they get ready for the Republican National Convention in just a few weeks. We'll talk to Jennifer Grundy coming up next here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. And welcome back. Chad Holmes with you here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bowfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Well, coming up next month, the city of Milwaukee will become the epicenter of the political universe as the Republican National Convention comes to the city in July. However, Milwaukee has become a major news topic in the past week as former President Donald Trump, in his return visit to the United States Capitol for the first time since the insurrection in January of 2021 last week, when he was talking to House Republicans. In front of his trip to the state of Wisconsin for the GOP convention, he told House GOP members that he thinks that Milwaukee is horrible. He called the city horrible. And frankly, it's something that has not just been Trump over the years. Republicans in the state assembly and state senate have used Milwaukee as a bit of a punching bag over the years. And I thought it'd be good to talk to somebody from Milwaukee, especially somebody that's from here in Wausau, somebody that went to high school here, somebody that went to college here with myself many years ago. So I reached out to Jennifer Grundy, who now lives in Milwaukee. She's lived in Milwaukee for a number of years, but a Wausau native, and very happy to have her on the show. And Jen, great to talk to you.
Great to talk to you. Thank you for having me, Jen.
Absolutely. And I said that you're somebody that's from around here. You went to Newman Catholic and then went to UW-Marathon County, and then you've been able to live in a lot of very interesting places, and I think, you know, be able to see a lot of our country and see a lot of the world. And I thought it'd be good to get a perspective from somebody that's now living in Milwaukee. And first of all, how long have you lived in Milwaukee?
Since 2009.
Okay.
So 15 years.
So yeah. Yep, you've been there for quite a while. And I wanted to start off with, because as I said, it's not just been Donald Trump who made, I would say, disparaging remarks about the city of Milwaukee. But over the years, during budget battles and other political campaigns, Republicans in Wisconsin have not had the most pleasant things to say about the city of Milwaukee.
True.
I wanted to ask you, as somebody that lived here in central Wisconsin and has a sense of folks here in central Wisconsin, what can you tell us that maybe we wouldn't know because we haven't lived in Milwaukee? We haven't, maybe many of us have not lived in a large metropolitan area. What have you found out living in large metropolitan areas? And it's not just been Milwaukee, but for folks that live in areas such as Wausau and maybe the communities around Wausau, what have you learned living in a bigger city?
Well, I mean, community is really strong. There's a lot of different neighborhoods here, and everyone kind of looks after each other, you know. There's not that coldness maybe that people think, or, you know, horrible activity happening all the time. I mean, yes, there's crime everywhere, you know, but I've really found that living in larger areas, people are kinder than you think. I lived in New York City, and, you know, that is a place that's notoriously known for being, you know, very brisk and no one's nice and they, you know, they just go about their business. But it's actually the opposite. You know, people are people. We all look for a sense of community and a place to call home. And I mean, I definitely see that here in Milwaukee. It's a very vibrant city.
In terms of living there, and I think you kind of hit on something that many people would not believe in a sense, because we have this, I don't know if it's a myth, but there's always this sense that neighborhoods or community or people in small towns do have that where you know each other. That if you live in a big city, it's harder to know each other. From what you just said, that's not the case, that you are able to truly know each other, know your neighbors, know your community.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I live in River West, which is a very, very funky, fun, interesting neighborhood. It's evolved a lot over the years, even in the time that I've lived there, which I've been there now for 10 years. But it's, you know, people look out for one another. There's a lot of inclusion and acceptance. It's, you know, it's, and you see that a lot around the city in a lot of different neighborhoods. But, you know, River West is one that's, you know, had its issues with crime and still continues to have some issues with crime. But people really, when those things happen, they look out for one another. They're there to help. People offer food, you know, services, anything they can, information. So it's, you know, it's wonderful.
What have you learned living in a bigger community since leaving Wausau? I mean, you said it, you lived in New York. I believe you've lived in San Francisco. Did you live in San Francisco as well?
I didn't live in San Francisco, but I lived outside of San Francisco. I lived in Sacramento.
Okay.
Which is the capital.
So what have you, what did you,
the same size as Milwaukee, similar size.
What maybe surprised you, or maybe, I don't know the best way to put it, but what are you able to get maybe in a bigger metropolitan area than what you could have got in a smaller community?
So what I've been able to get in a larger city,
yeah,
a smaller community?
Some of the big, I guess I would call it the biggest positives that you see, maybe. And you can use Milwaukee as the best example.
Well, one of the biggest positives is the diversity. There's, one of the things I love about Milwaukee is there are so many different cultures here. And it's, you know, it's just a very diverse, multicultural city. So you learn a lot. You learn a lot by just meeting people who are not exactly like you or what you've grown up with, but you ask questions, you hang out with them, you know, we're all human at the end of the day. And it's a great learning opportunity to grow, you know, not only in learning about different cultures in the world and different traditions, but also just as a human being.
We're talking to Jennifer Grundy, Milwaukee resident, Wausau native, here on Bow Falls Radio. When you hear comments like Trump made last week, or even, I would say, I in a sense, I would think almost it'd be more disturbing when you hear the Republicans in the state capitol when they're discussing different issues, basically, in a lot of ways, I would call dumping on Milwaukee. What do you think? What is the discussion for residents in Milwaukee when it feels at times you're a bit of a punching bag for some issues that really are not Milwaukee's fault?
Well, I mean, it makes us angry and irritated, and it's like we have to defend ourselves against something that's not even, like you say, it's not our fault. And the crime rate has actually gone down in the past, since 2022, the crime rate has gone down. So, and that's nationwide. We're not even in the highest percentage of crime in the, you know, the United States. So to hear, you know, to hear those comments, and it's just, it's frustrating.
Could I ask you about, you said it, diversity, and that's been such a hot-button issue with Robin Voss in the state capitol and others as they try to, you know, take funding away from the universities and just basically try to erase diversity, equity, inclusion programs. And you said it, I think, a couple of times here about that being such a big positive. If you were to talk to, say, Robin Voss, and try to explain to him, and I think a lot of what he's doing is political. I think it's this, he thinks he's talking to people who live in the small towns and trying to get the votes in these rural areas. But if you were to talk to anybody about the positives of, especially, you know, diversity and why these DEI programs are not a bad thing at all.
I mean, we have to evolve, and diversity is something to be celebrated. Yes, we all want equality, but what makes us different is also something to be celebrated. So to make people who maybe don't fit into a certain idea of what people like Robin Voss, you know, think is what should be the norm, so then you're pushing those people down, and it's not fair to be excluding people. And I don't understand at the end of the day how it is a negative.
What are your thoughts? Oh, sorry.
Do people lose by just being kind, you know?
Right.
And listening.
You know, well, let me say that word kindness, and I think that's one of the things, and again, I'm going to put it out there, one of the things that annoys me most about Donald Trump is he's not a very kind person.
No.
And the leadership of whether it's a community or whether it's a state, and especially whether it's a country, having that empathy, having an ability to look at each other and find the goodness instead of constantly having this mean streak. And I just think that, you know, for the country's sake, that if we were able to use that kindness aspect, it's so vitally important. And we've seen, I think, in the last 10 years since he became a political figure, that people may have avoided saying some things. Well, now they feel like, hey, this guy says this, it's okay to say it. And that's led to a lot of issues. That's my editorial comment on it.
Yes, I agree 100%. I mean, you know, if it's okay to be a bully, then someone who feels like they want to be a bully or they're insecure and that's why they're going after someone who's different than them, then they feel validated. They feel validated because, hey, our president is doing that. Mm-hmm. Our president is pushing people down, making fun of journalists who are disabled, for example. I mean, I don't know how it didn't stop at that. That didn't change things because that was horrifying.
Right.
But it's really disappointing to have, you know, such a large number of people in this country support that mentality. And it's disappointing. And I guess all we can do is just continue to to try and be positive and you know, have discussions with one another, have honest discussions, no matter what we believe. Like, just sit down and talk to people who have different beliefs than us. I don't know. I mean, how else are we going to, you know, move forward as a country if we're so divided about everything and not able to just sit and talk like human beings? We're all human beings at the end of the day.
And one final question. Obviously, you know, in the next number of weeks, the convention will be in Milwaukee. Unfortunately, 4 years ago when the Democrats were there, unfortunately, we had to go through something called the global pandemic, and that obviously took away the opportunity for a full convention. How do you feel about it? I mean, obviously, it's probably good for the economy of the state and the city of Milwaukee, but at the same time, welcoming Donald Trump to town, I imagine there's some mixed feelings.
Yes. I've worked in the restaurant industry for several years, and I just know I know a lot of the people in the industry here are a little wary of how these people coming to town are going to treat them, just because there's just not a lot of kindness that we've seen, you know, in this current climate. I'm hoping for something better, you know, maybe there'll be something positive that comes out of it. I mean, I'm hoping that it's, you know, positive for our city in some way. But we'll see, I guess, what happens.
Yep, we will see. That's definitely, I think, a good way to wrap it up. Jenna, I really appreciate the time. Again, it's wonderful to talk to you. It's great to know that you're proud of your city, being there for 15 years, obviously. And again, really appreciate it. Hopefully the next month or so goes well for everybody, as you said, in the food industry and everybody else down in Milwaukee when the GOP comes to town. But again, thank you very much, and thanks again for coming on the show.
Thank you, Chad.
That's Jennifer Grundy, again, Wausau native, Milwaukee resident for the last 15 years. We're going to come back, wrap things up here on this Wednesday morning. Chad Holmes Show, Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230.
The second annual Celebration of Life with Extra Innings takes place June 21st and 22nd at Sunnyvale Softball Complex in Wausau. Nicolet Bank and GI Associates of Wausau are both proud sponsors of this important event, helping local families right here in central Wisconsin affected by cancer. This event won't be possible without the generosity of local businesses and organizations willing to do the hard work for the right reasons. Saturday has a special children's cancer tribute game, and all children are welcome to play. There's still time to get your team entered and become part of this amazing event. For more details and sponsor info, go to extrainnings-wi.com or call Ted at 419-260-1073. There are numerous opportunities to sponsor or volunteer. Again, that's extrainnings-wi.com or call 419-260-1073. All funds raised stay local to help families right here in central Wisconsin.
Chad Holmes Show, Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. The 19th day of June, 2024, day number 171 of this year. There are 195 days remaining in 2024. Should be a very interesting final 195 days of this year. And a number of famous events have occurred on this date in history. In 1846, the first baseball game under recognizable modern rules was played in Hoboken, New Jersey. On this date in 1910, the first Father's Day was celebrated in Spokane, Washington. On this date in 1941, General Mills in Minneapolis created a new dry breakfast cereal called Cheerios. The name was later shortened to Cheerios. in 1978. A little surprised. I thought this was actually a little bit older, but the Garfield comic strip debuted on this date in 1978. On this date in 2016, Anton Yelchin, an actor best known for playing
a Chekhov.
Chekhov, yep.
On the new Star Trek movies.
Yep, he played Chekhov. And,
a great actor.
Unfortunately, he was killed on this date 8 years ago when he was pinned by his Jeep Grand Cherokee against an entrance post at his home. And on this date in 2022, 2 years ago, it was reported that a record number of Americans think that the U.S. has poor moral values. I think it would be interesting to see that probably many people on both sides of the political spectrum are probably saying that for very different reasons.
That is probably true.
Some famous people are celebrating their birthday today. Felicia Rashad played Bill Cosby's wife on The Cosby Show, 76 years old today. Ann Wilson, lead vocalist of Heart, the band Heart, 74 years old today. Actor Kathleen Turner, turning 70. Paula Abdul, started as a Laker girl, as a cheerleader for the LA Lakers, and became a famous choreographer, then became a famous singer with her number one hit, Straight Up. And then, of course, became a judge on American Idol. Lots of different aspects to her life.
She is phenomenal.
Paula Abdul, 62 years old today.
Happy birthday.
Actor Poppy Montgomery, 52 years old today. Actor Zoe Saldana, another person that was in the new Star Trek films, played Uhura in the Star Trek movies, also in the Avatar films.
Also and in the Guardians of the Galaxy
Marvel films, yep. Mm-hmm. 46 years old today. Actor Paul Dano, the Riddler in The Batman, is 40. Atticus Schaefer played the youngest child in The Middle. Remember The Middle, the TV show?
I remember that show.
He was the youngest of the kids. He is 26 years old today. And if you out there celebrating your birthday, happy birthday to you from all of us at Bull Falls Radio. Special events, it is Juneteenth. And again, yes, that's a great day. You can just remember what it must have been like for those that finally heard that the war was over, that the Emancipation Proclamation was in effect. Juneteenth today. Garfield the Cat Day. Eden Oreo Day. I love Oreos. Do you like Oreos?
Me too. I do like Oreos.
It is Martini Day. I've never had a martini.
I don't think I have either.
It is World Albatross Day. It is World Sauntering Day. So we can do a little sauntering today. And World Sickle Cell Day. All right.
Okay.
It is time again. And we are 1-for-2 so far this week. So you're off to a good start. Because, again, we do our number for the day quiz with Ian Welsh. And we give Ian three choices. So based on the numbers, you should get 1 out of 3.
Yes.
Just by guessing. That's 33%. So that's every week's goal, to be at least 33% on our number for the day quiz.
Mm-hmm.
All right. The number for the day today is the number of Americans expected to experience temperatures above 90 degrees on Thursday. That is this Thursday, June the 20th, the first official day of summer.
That's tomorrow. Okay.
So the number of Americans expected to experience temperatures above 90 degrees on Thursday, the first official day of summer.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Is the correct number 165 million? Whew. Is the correct answer 215 million? Is the correct answer 265 million? I will give you a hint because this came as part of the number of the day. The number represents about 82% of the nation's total population. So that's a lot. A great majority will be over 90 degrees tomorrow. Wow. Is it 165 million, 215 million, 265 million? About 82% of the nation's population will be above 90 degrees tomorrow.
Okay, I'm going to go with C. I'm going to go with the biggest number. I'm thinking about the hint, and I think that's the correct answer. So I'm going to go with C. That's my final answer.
The correct answer in the number of Americans expected to experience temperatures above 90 degrees tomorrow, the first official day of summer, is 265 million people.
Nice. I got over that 33%.
You are now on, again, the roll. But now the goal is...
get a 4 out of 5.
Yep. To get a record and also at the very least be above 50%. That's always good, too.
Absolutely. I got 3 out of 5... last week, let's see if I can do it again or maybe go even higher. But happy hump day, everybody. Happy Wednesday.
Thanks to our guests, Bob Look, Sean Wright, and Jennifer Grundy for joining us here today. Tomorrow, we'll be joined by Pat Kreitlow at 8:06. He'll be North Star Nose. North Star Nose coming up tomorrow morning as well. And then finally, we will also have another political candidate coming up tomorrow, as we will be talking to a candidate for the State Senate. So we'll have that tomorrow as well. Have a great day.